All right, everybody, it's Tim, and we are taking a look at what else is going on the Midwest Podcast Network. The Midwest Game Nerds are back, and they are still talking about the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which makes sense. It's a long game. Alex also got a PSVR 2, which I might have to go over and check out. And Brian is playing The Quarry, which is a super cool game. So check them out, the Midwest Game Nerds podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. The Game Nerds have also released a new side quest episode. Seems like the Midwest food dudes are back because they are talking about one of my favorite local places, Mr. Kebab. Actually had it last night, and I can still taste the garlic on my breath. We, Willie and I, also released a new Tiny Terror, which you can find on our Patreon, patreon.com/MidwestPodNet. We talk a little bit about Willie's upcoming trip. It's a Ninja Turtles related trip. So check both of those episodes right now on our Patreon, patreon.com/MidwestPodNet. And that is it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and enjoy the show.
Is March Madness. Are you watching? Like, have you been?
Tonight's
the first batch of games.
Let me show you what I got going here.
You got a bracket?
I got a bracket. Yeah.
Okay.
I got
a
bracket.
Do you play for money? Do you just play for fun?
I play for fun. Here's the first. So I am a person who watches college basketball all year, and what sometimes gets frustrating about the NCAA tournament is that means absolutely nothing when it comes to picking a bracket, because it could be like the dude in the office who has never watched a college basketball game just starts picking people on like the logos he likes or something, and they end up winning it, and I'm sitting here watching every game, and then I go through like analytic stats, and I have like certain like people like Bartorvik and KenPom and all these places,
and the person who randomly picks it because they like the wolf versus the so I'm the guy who randomly picks it based on the mascot or name.
Yes.
And you're the guy who actually does research, so you hate me is what you're saying.
And the other thing that pops up for me as a fan, because I'm like a fan of a team, and I'm a fan of certain teams, but that makes me not a fan of other teams. And when I have to, like, there's a part of me that never wants to pick those other teams because I've grown to dislike them because of my fandom, and I have to overcome that, and there are sometimes I can't do it, and it burns me in brackets.
I get that. Last year was a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was like the bracket buster year.
Last year was the
There
craziest.
Were 16 seeds beating one seeds and all sorts of crazy shit. I will say my alma mater is up right now with 4 minutes left in the second.
I was going to pop that up because...
Not that I care, because I owe them a lot of money. Well, I don't owe them money.
Here's what I haven't had going all day, because my team played today, and... My team plays, they're on the big screen, but check this bad boy out. This is YouTube TV. It's called the multi-view feature. This is all four games at one time.
Don't show this to my wife. Thank you.
That's
insanity.
Incredible.
That's insanity.
My wife doesn't get it. My dad is overwhelmed by it. He's like, I can't, how do you watch that? And I go, you just got to know. First of all, it's probably like growing up in the time I've been, I have definitely have some form of attention deficit. ADHD.
We all do. Remember when Picture in Picture first came out, and it was like, whoa.
I used to have a TV, like a big screen TV, like one of those big boxy big screens, and it used to have the Picture in Picture, and you could like swap out.
You hit a button, it would swap.
Swap it.
That's the best, dude.
So yeah, I'm watching this today, and like, they got it on the phone now. I watch on the TV. This phone is too small, but I'm just using it. So if I like want to watch this game, I just go like this.
You are a psychopath, but I love you.
And then I go there, and it brings it up full screen. I've been doing it all day. It drives my wife insane.
It's
like having
insanity. State is in the tournament.
They won this morning.
They won this morning. Okay.
I'm cheering for Oakland here. I believe I picked them in this one just because that's like one of those things I picked with my heart.
To be fair, Oakland started off, I don't know if you know this, as a, they were a subschool to Michigan State.
Oakland is,
they were owned and operated by the same.
I like Oakland's coach a lot too. And also, I love when Oakland makes the tournament because nationally, people cannot wrap their head around the fact that it's Oakland, Michigan and not like Oakland, California.
Yes, it's great. And the last time Oakland was in the tournament, I was at Oakland.
Yeah.
I was a student there, which is fun. So, great school. just, you know, like every other school, you know. Oh, future you? Generations, be careful. That's all I'm saying. About going to college. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying Oakland. I'm saying...
college. I completely understand.
There are other things to think
yes.
about.
Yes.
Other options. Don't get pigeonholed into one option.
College is a... it's a business.
There are trades you can get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm just weird about college right now. Anyway, though, I hope they win. I don't have them winning, but I hope they win.
Yeah.
All right. How many correct picks do you have right now?
I was 6 for 8, so I had an okay morning. I haven't checked. This recent batch of games have been, they've been pretty much chalk, except for that Oakland one. That would be nice, though, because I picked that one.
How many picks do you have out of 63? How many do you have right?
Well, we've
do
only,
you know?
Well, we've only gotten through the first, like, 10 games so far. It just started today.
So, what do you do your bracket through?
Okay, let me.
I do Yahoo Sports.
Okay, I'm on CBS. So right now.
Okay, so it says I have 7 out of 63 picks correct so far.
63 picks. Okay, I don't understand how it's calculating.
63
that.
Picks is like the gotcha. Total number of teams I picked to win.
Okay, I'm at 6. So I'm at
so
6.
You lost one game so far, or one more than I did. Okay.
Yes. Yep. Okay. I see
what BYU.
I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Well, let's not do this. People are going to be.
Well, this is the thing. When you really start to break down like sports and like college sports, especially like basketball, where there's 300 teams, you get lost in the weeds. It's like the nerdiest shit ever. Like that's the thing. So that's what I'm talking about with my picks. So anyway, that will transition us into, because that's what I've been watching. But I've also been watching a couple other things that I wanted to talk to you about real quick, and then we're gonna get into this bracket.
Let's do it. Yes,
because we've got a sequel-less slasher madness bracket coming up.
Yes.
We talked about
this is like a standalone slasher bracket. We will probably get we won't, but we may get an objection or two here
on a couple of them.
I feel like there's arguable ones, but I'm going to.
I was borderline, but like it was kind
I'm
of.
I'm going to make sure I argue for why we
chose. We included them or
yes.
Okay, my bracket is insane, by the way, but Yeah, I know what you're. I know which ones you're talking about, but we'll get to those when we get to them because I think all you right. can make an argument for why they're in this, and also like it got kind of tough the way we wanted to do it because we wanted to have equal representation across decades.
Yes. And, do you like how I, by the way, set you up for this and then made you do all the work? Was that fun for you?
You gotta understand, like this is no. like hey. Ranking shit is like ranking and organizing stuff is like my favorite thing in the world.
I know I gave you a gift. I'm just joking. I know you loved it.
I love this.
Yes.
There's nothing more that I love than just like putting stuff in Excel documents and like filtering and sorting. Oh my God. And it's
also, you had some downtime here and there at work, I'm sure.
It's a, yeah.
And you're like.
It's a dream.
Are they listening?
What's that? There might be. No, I don't think so. But all I do is throw in a little YouTube TV multi-view. I go to town on these Excel documents. I'm good to go.
Hell yeah.
All right. A couple movies I want to talk about first. This one.
Yes.
This one was a rental. This is a new movie. This is a movie called Stop Motion, which is a movie I liked. I want to get that out of the way real quick. It's about a stop motion animator who kind of devolves into madness throughout the course of the movie. The stop motion animation aspect of this is really awesome, and it's really creepy. Because stop motion can be kind of creepy, mm-hmm. But this style is kind of like gooey and gushy, and kind of like it's cool. It reminds me of like a, I don't know, like a old like a Tool video.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So, the thing with the movie is the plot. I kind of give a brief synopsis there, very brief synopsis. But there's not much more to it than what I said. It's pretty much in like. It didn't do much for me. It's kind of your run-of-the-mill artist gets overly obsessed with their work and just becomes...
Classic kind
of,
yeah. Yep.
Kind of a dick. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the problem I have had with this is it never really hooked me plot level. I was just kind of waiting around for the next, like, creepy, gooey sequence, stop motion.
Yeah. Like, give it to me. Let's go.
I put it in my discard. I was kind of hoping it... By the end, I was like, I wish it focused less, because the end just kind of, the third act is just, like, madness. It's just stop-motion craziness.
Sure.
And I'm like, I wish it focused less on the plot and just more throwing weird shit at the screen.
Get gross.
Yes. Yeah. Just, so.
More goo, please.
And it's also, like, it's one of those slow-burn ones. It's an indie horror movie. It's one of those slow-burn ones where you kind of have to be invested. And so I guess the thing I'd say is I would recommend it I think I saw the Shudder logo, so it'll probably be on there at some point. Mm. I would wait for that, honestly, but if anybody's interested, or wait till it drops down in price, because I think it was $7, but it'll drop down. Anyway, what I'm saying is, like, I think this, a lot of people, there are people that will like this a lot more than me, but, like, I was never hooked in by the plot itself.
Okay.
There is a movie that came out a year or two ago called Mad God that is, Phil Tippett, who did Star Wars and RoboCop. He did the stop motion for that. It's kind of like his dream project, and that is all stop motion animation, and that is incredible. And that, if you're looking for a modern horror movie, that is one I would recommend.
Okay.
In a similar vein, but the stop motion is pretty good, and it's out now for rental. Will, you want to? You got anything?
Yeah. So this one relates back to you. I started watching The Traitors.
Oh, The Traitors. How are you? How are you liking it?
It's delightful.
It's so good. Are you on season one?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, please don't. Yeah,
I won't.
I'm pretty deep into season one. They've recruited a new traitor, so you know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it good? Like, is it good? Not really.
But
it's as good as bad can get. Does that make sense? Like, in terms of reality shows, this is my jam. Like, this is the best.
I know what you're saying. It skirts the line between, like,
trash,
but not so trashy that you're embarrassed to watch it.
No.
And there's just enough strategy behind the game and, like, to engage
where I'm kind of interested, And Alan Cumming.
I think he gets even better the second season. I'll just
say
that.
He's just so...
He's really good.
I mean...
He's like my favorite reality host right now.
He's the best.
I don't watch a ton of reality.
He's the best.
He's so good.
He's the best.
There's been a murder.
A murder.
And then he's Fergus. Wonderful. You've met Fergus, right?
Fergus is great. Yep, yeah. Yep. No, the whole thing's a ton of fun. I'm loving it. I've watched so much trash TV. Like, this is not trash compared to some of the stuff. Fantasy. I don't know. Like, Fantasy Boat and all sorts of weird
shit. You watch,
like
Love Island?
I have.
Okay.
Not, like, currently.
Are you interested?
Because it's, like, a 46-episode season. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I'm not...
What about the one that you always show during Traders? Couple to Thruple.
Never watched that. No.
You gotta watch Couple to Thruple?
No. That weirds me out. I can't do it. Yeah. I just have nightmares. You know what I mean? Like,
you're like, I got my
wife being like, "Hey, by the way, let's bring an extra."
And then you're like, "Oh, like I gotta care for another person."
This is like a pain in the ass. I don't. Is the sex that good? So, no, I do not. I've been watching a lot of trailers lately.
Trailers. Okay.
Trailers.
Okay.
The Crow.
Let's talk about The Crow a little bit.
I think that anything they did with this would be easy to shit on, regardless of, like, still photos or trailers or whatever. Because, like, The Crow, by those who hold it in high regard, hold it in very high regard. And I don't think there's any way around that.
The Crow has a very passionate fan base. Yeah, I would say so.
And that's great. I saw the stills that came up before the trailer, and I went, ew.
I did the same.
And then I saw the trailer, and I went, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
You were into it. I think a little less so than you, but yeah.
Because it's different. Like, I don't want the exact same movie.
Right.
Am I going to like this more than the original? Probably not. But, like, I'm happy it's different. I'm happy there's a different approach. I'm like
it certainly doesn't look like the worst Crow movie.
No. Like, you guys are going to bitch about this thing, and you've seen the every Crow movie but the first.
Right. And you know what? I know that's like...
It looks like a John Wick type action movie.
Yeah, and I know it...
Which,
like,
I'm cool with.
Saying it looks better than the sequel, maybe damning it with faint praise there, but, like, you know what? Maybe that is kind of the baseline, because I think I'm with you. I would not expect this to be like this much as the
first one.
Yeah.
If you like the first one, yeah, you're not going to... But the thing is, like, even if you don't necessarily love the first one, or you're not familiar with... Remember, like, that's an old movie now.
Right.
That's not, like for us, it feels weird to say that, but, like, that's an old movie. Like, it's older than, like, it's older now than, like, Return of the Jedi was when we were born.
Right.
So it's old. There's a lot of people out there who have not seen The Crow. If nothing else, maybe they'll watch the original and
that's the thing in this day and age when everything is available to people. Like now more people are going to see these movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought it looked kind of cool. Like there was some really cool stuff with it, like with his invincibility in the trailer and stuff, like where he's getting stabbed and he's like, nope.
The
like,
violent bits really worked for me.
Really yeah. worked. Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm a little less into the main relationship in the movie between Eric and it's a little bit too
mopey.
It's a little bit too Leto Joker and Harley
Damage.
Quinn. Yeah. It's a little too
we'll see how it plays in the actual.
We'll see that's the thing is like I will give it a shot in the actual movie. Yeah. What other trailers?
Overall I enjoyed it. Oh yeah. God, I watched one today. Beetlejuice.
Okay. So
where are we at with this? You've seen it?
I saw the pictures yesterday. They released the photos, and I texted you, or I Skyped you, or whatever. I can't remember. Whatever. You know what I mean. I messaged you in some form. And I said, I'm excited. I'm happy to be excited for the last few hours that I can be excited about this movie before the trailer drops.
Until you see footage, yeah.
But then the footage dropped, and I'm not, like, it seemed Michael Keaton again in the outfit. Very much like the Batman outfit. It does it for me. It works for me. I don't know what to tell you. The overly dramatic Deo was a little much for me.
Do you know what it feels like to me? I've still not seen this movie, which is funny because the sequel came out today, I think. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Okay.
Very respectful, but also kind of like maybe overly.
There is a little bit, yeah. It's
referencing.
Kind of, yeah, it is kind of. It's kind of weird that, yeah, there's a reverence for what is essentially
it's
was
Beetlejuice.
Was like, yeah, kind of a goofy, yeah.
It that's feels kind like of where Ghostbusters Afterlife, like where it's like, we're a little too serious here, I feel like. But, you know.
Now, I will say, I did, like,
it's
I
Burton,
thought,
so.
Yeah. And I did think, I actually liked the Ghostbusters movie. I thought it struck a decent balance between that in the actual movie itself. The trailer, I was with you. I went, what's happening? Because there's that really slow, like, treacly version. Yeah, I was kind of with you. The other thing, too, is I think I liked Wednesday quite a bit, and that was Burton.
Yes. And Ortega's in this.
Yeah, so maybe he has found someone of the current generation, too, that it's kind of, that will kind of be a good, whatever you call it, collaborator. Yeah, maybe she will work well with him. And I think she is a good fit.
Yeah.
For
and having not just, if it was just Michael Keaton back, I'd almost be like,
yeah.
You just got the, like, but Catherine O'Hara's back.
Yes.
Winona Ryder's back, so. Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to see a little bit more. I'm definitely going to watch it. I mean,
yeah.
The other thing, though, too, is stuff is like comedy sequels are very iffy a lot of the time.
It's true.
And this is a comedy sequel, so.
It's true. We'll see. Yeah.
All right. This one I wanted to talk to you about real quick.
All right.
I wanted to check something real quick. A Shin Ultraman.
Oh, yes. You watched it.
Yeah. I really liked this. I watched the trailer a couple weeks ago, and I went, oh, this looks cool, and I just rented it. And it sat in my library for
super
a little
violent,
bit.
Right?
Yeah, but not like, it wasn't like overly gory.
Okay.
I am by no means an Ultraman expert either. Like, I know of him, and I've seen a couple episodes of like the old TV show.
I had a toy.
Yeah, like, yeah. I know of him. I'm aware of him. But I don't think you need to be for this. This is from the same director as Shin Godzilla.
Oh.
Yeah. And it has similar things on its mind as far as kind of poking fun at government, like bureaucracy and stuff like this. I think this is a funny movie. It does feel a little bit of like binging like five episodes of the Ultraman show because like it feels like 20 minutes every 20 minutes there's a new crisis or a new monster. But I kind of dug that.
Yeah, that's great.
The pacing sometimes can always be weird in these type of movies, so it didn't really bother me. Like, I was kind of in for it anyway. The CG is a little bit weird, but I think it's weird in a charming way, where the CG kind of makes them look like men in costumes, or like people in costumes. It's
well,
kind of,
yeah, but Shin Godzilla is the same way.
Exactly.
Yep.
I don't know where you are. Like, CG, all I ask is that it looks cool half the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's never always going to look realistic, a lot of it. I just want it to look kind of cool.
Agreed.
Yeah. Or just not look so bad that it takes me out of it.
Yes. Yes.
It's very colorful, too. It's very funny. I think this is worth a rental. This is a good movie. I enjoyed it. I think Shin Godzilla is a little better, but this was also fun. Shin Ultraman.
Shin Ultraman. All right, sweet. Where did you watch that?
That one I rented. It was a couple bucks on YouTube or whatever.
Okay.
That one I would suggest renting because I never know what movies, what streaming services those are going to pop up on. Like Shin Godzilla.
That's tough, but that, yeah. That's tough.
You may as well just rent those. Yeah. Honestly. If you are interested, yeah.
Awesome.
One more thing. If are you caught up on Invincible?
No.
Okay. Then that
I've
was the last
thing. None of season two.
I binged it. I binged the first half of it before.
Okay.
I had one rant. I texted you a rant that 8 episodes is not a season of television.
Yes. Yes, that's right. That's right. Is it over now? Is it done?
No, there are a couple episodes left because it's going to be, I think it's going to be 8 episodes. Season 6, I have not caught. That one just hit today.
Episode 6.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'd still just as good. I would say season 2 is just as good. I enjoy it. It's very violent.
Season 1 was great. Yeah.
There's an action scene in the episode 5 that rules. It's so good. And I just want to, like, I also want to say, like, I've discovered that I like animation. And
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Almost with you. Yeah.
I'm kind of falling on the side, too, where, like, a lot of these live-action remakes of things, like the Disney movies and even, I think, like, the Airbender movie, the Cowboy Bebop movie, like, I just don't know if I have any interest in them because they exist to me perfectly in the form they were in before. Like, you know, it's not like I won't watch one of those Disney remakes. Like, the Jungle Book one I liked, and
There's some really great ones, but Jungle Book was a book before it was a movie, too,
yeah,
so
there are
it's not originally an animation, yeah.
But there are a couple more that I saw. I like it, but I'm like, does this need to exist? Like, I don't think it does, because I think the animated version of it is kind of perfect in its own way.
Oh, by the way, real quick, because we're never going to do this otherwise, I'm glad you brought it up. R.I.P. to Akira Toriyama. Not a horror guy, but important to me, and
the creator of Dragon Ball Z, correct?
Yes. So, yes, want to throw that out there. But it's so super formative in my teenage, early teens, and whatnot. So, yeah.
And I would bet there's a crossover between Dragon Ball Z fans and horror fans.
Sure.
Yes.
I'm sure there's some. Yeah.
Very much.
So, yes. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely.
All right. You ready to get into this bracket?
I think so. Yeah. Wait. You prep your brackets, right? Like, you kind of.
Yeah. This is kind of how we always like.
I'm fly by.
I prep and torture myself. This is just like our bracket strategy is in basketball, college basketball.
I just fly.
I torture myself.
Yes,
I go on these websites.
It's the same.
I compare analytics, and then I lose. My bracket's busted.
You're right.
The first weekend, goodness. And you're just coasting by.
So this is sequelist slasher madness.
Yes.
This is to tie into the season. 'Tis the season for March Madness.
Yes.
If you are not a college basketball fan, it's all good because you're probably a horror fan if you're listening to this, and you can be part of a bracket.
Yeah.
Send us your brackets.
Yes, I will post these. I will post the bracket.
Please do. Yes. So, yeah, let's do it.
HorrorMovieYearbook@gmail.com.
That's the place to do it. Yep.
All right. So here's what I did to put together this bracket.
All right.
Willie and I talked it over. We'll get into, as we go through, we'll get into some of the more controversial choices on here. But essentially what I did was 16 movies, 5 from the 80s, 5 from the 90s, and 5 from the 2000s. Mm. These are movies that do not have a sequel. Some of them have had remakes. Some of them are remakes.
The rule is,
yeah,
if you're a remake, there cannot have been a sequel to your remake.
Okay, yeah.
Right, that's general.
Right.
Your remake cannot have spawned a franchise, and there are plenty of those.
Yeah.
Hills Have Eyes comes to mind. Mm-hmm. There was a sequel to that remake.
Yeah.
But we tried to keep it very... This was a story that was told in its own continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
And there are one or two movies that have had like fan film remakes. And
can't
nothing
count,
against
can't
those, but
yep.
Yeah, I couldn't count those. And then there's stuff like Terror Train I really wanted to put on here, but like there was a Terror Train 2 that came out like last year on Tubi that I believe was a sequel to
technically
the
tied
original,
to the original,
to
right.
the original movie. So I don't believe any of these are tied. I could be wrong on one of them.
You can get mad at us if you want to.
Yes.
It's fine. But what's the point?
Yes, and I also tried to take it by IMDb score like we always do. Like, I tried to take the top 5 from each decade. Now, The one more thing before we get started here, we did have one. We talked about All the Boys Love Mandy Lane for the 2000s. Mm-hmm. We ended up taking that out because I haven't seen it in a long time. You hadn't seen it, right?
No.
And it's not available anywhere. It's like $20 on you. Like,
it's a dead movie.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it's not available.
Welcome to non-physical media, yes. Assholes.
Rant over. Yeah, it would have taken like 3 weeks to get here because you would have to buy it from somebody off of like eBay or Amazon. So we put in a different movie for that. I don't remember which one, but
it's so crazy to me. How does that happen? Like whatever.
So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna start at the top of the bracket.
Yes.
I'm just gonna do titles of the movies.
Let's do it.
And then we'll make our picks. Yep. And we're gonna start with, I think, a controversial one maybe, but because I took five from each decade and I took one from the 70s, and this is the one from the 70s. This is the original Black Christmas.
Original. So I questioned you on this originally,
yes,
because I was like, wait, there's two Black Christmas remakes, technically.
You're right.
And I thought the second remake was, which I've not seen, was a like a sequel type thing. Apparently it's not.
No, there is no connection between the three movies.
Which is crazy to me. Yeah. Anyway, so, and this is up against which one?
This is up against the number 16 seed, the lowest seed in the tournament, Uncle Sam.
Oh, my.
The Bill Lustig, William Lustig, and Larry Cohen joint from the 90s. So, who do you have? I'm going to throw to you first. Who do you have in the matchup between Black Christmas and Uncle Sam, the... I believe it's like it's been a long time since I watched this, but I believe it's like a 90s like slasher about a veteran.
I think so. Yeah, I've seen it. It's very Jack Frost.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah. It's Black Christmas. I'm not even like the world's biggest Black Christmas guy, but if nothing else, Margot Kidder. So, you won, by the way.
I was keeping an eye on that. Yeah. So. How about that? Brackets busted.
Black Christmas and OU.
The bracket will not be busted here by the 16 seed because I'm with you. I've got Black Christmas. Yeah. Like Uncle Sam, from what I remember, Isaac Hayes is in it as well. I think PJ Souls might be in this one as well, too, in like a small role.
I believe so, yes.
It's an okay, like, if you are looking for like a deep cut movie. It is directed by William Lustig, who did like Maniac and Maniac Cop. And then Larry Cohen, who wrote it, he did like It's Alive. He also wrote Maniac Cop, which is a far superior collaboration between the two people.
It is.
Than Uncle Sam.
Black Christmas tends to get a little bit more credit than it's due because it came out before Halloween.
Oh, I was talking about Uncle Sam still. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Bob Clark is Black Christmas.
Yes.
Yep. Bill Lustig. William Lustig. And so that's the better collaboration. But Uncle Sam, you're right. Very in the vein of Jack Frost, but like Jack Frost is a little funnier. This one is a very dark movie, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they both had holographic VHS covers.
Like lenticular.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Lenticular. Yes. Yes. Super silly. Yeah.
But I also have Black Christmas moving on. Yeah. We're going to go down that side of the bracket if you're ready.
Do it. Yep.
We are going to talk about Popcorn from like 1991, I think, versus Club Dread, which, you know what, is a pretty straightforward slasher movie for a lot
of
us. It
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, but it's also, yeah, no less a slasher movie than most. What do you got?
I have Club Dread. So I recently watched Popcorn for the first time about a year or so ago. And like Popcorn's kind of like I can see why it has a cult following. It's a weird movie. Like it's kind of an early example of like a meta movie because it's about like college students throwing like an all night movie marathon, and then like someone comes in and yeah, it's a slasher movie like that. And they do restage like a lot of classic movies in that way. I have got Club Dread though because. Club Dread, I think, actually works pretty well as a slasher through most of it, and I also think it's funny. Club Dread might be my favorite Broken Lizard movie, and I like Broken Lizard quite a bit. I think I like it better than Super Troopers.
About Smokin' Salmon, though?
Smokin' Salmon's kind of funny. The one that they just came out with, Quasi, is bad. it's really bad. I like Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy the best out of the two of them, because the Tacoma FD, the show, is very funny, and it's on Netflix. They just canceled it. HBO Max did, or True TV or whatever.
I saw that, yeah.
Very funny show. And it's a show that just exists to be funny. Like, it has no other aspirations. Anyway, Popcorn also has a weird reggae soundtrack, oddly enough, which kind of ties it to Club Dread in its way.
It's true.
Club Dread, though, has an iconic performance, a comedic performance in Bill Paxton.
One of the greats. Yes. Yes. He's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Club Dread. 100%.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton. Popcorn
has a terrific VHS poster, or cover and poster.
Yes. Yeah. Here's my thing. Popcorn became one of those, my opinion, sorry if you love Popcorn, became one of those movies where, like, people online were like, you're missing out if you, when people were able to communicate, they were like, see Popcorn.
Yeah.
It's the greatest slasher
you've never seen.
It's fine.
There's another movie on this list that we'll get to later.
Yes.
That I think is in the same vein.
I'm happy for you, but no, it's not. Like, it's fine. Club Dread rules. Like, it's legitimately underrated, underappreciated. Like, it's so much fun. And one of my father-in-law's favorite movies, weirdly enough. Yeah.
I can see that. I can see that.
I don't know. I can't, so.
Because he's a big, this sticks in my head, because I heard him talking about it at the video store one time. It was one of my first. He's a big Son of the Beach fan, isn't he?
A huge Son of the Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they're
similar in comedy styles. Yeah.
Okay. Like that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we both have Club Dread. Yes.
We're tied up, or not tied up, but even here now.
We got a romantic one up next.
Oh, my. Yes.
My Bloody Valentine, the original. And this is another one. The remake is not connected in any way. It's its own thing.
Yep.
Yes. Versus Valentine, the J.B. Blake's, David Boreanaz, Shannon Elizabeth's in this one, right?
Yep. Denise Richards.
Oh, wait, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Denise Richards. Yes, yeah. Who else is in that?
Marley Shelton's in it.
Thank you. That was who I was trying to think of. So.
From Roswell and Knocked Up. God, how am I blanking on her name?
Oh, Katherine Heigl.
Thank you. Yep. Yes, she's also in Valentine. Yes.
Here we go. Oh, baby, here we go. This is, now we're good to go.
It's Valentine.
Thank you.
Yep.
I don't want to. I've got nothing against My Bloody Valentine, by the way. I think
No. It's a perfectly good 80, like a slasher from 81, which there were a lot. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
We had a whole episode about, like, ways back. I don't even know if you can get it at this point. But we talked about slashers from 81 because that was like the year response. Like,
yeah.
The first response of Halloween.
Is that, yeah, it's that first like slasher cycle.
Late 80 into 81.
Yes. Yep.
So,
and it was all like these slasher movies based around holidays and stuff.
It was so silly. Like they missed the point. But in the best way.
Well, cause that's the thing is it is My Bloody Valentine is really loosely associated with Valentine.
So loosely.
Valentine is heavily associated. Like Valentine, plays a integral role in the plot.
My Bloody Valentine has more to do with mining.
The profession
of mining than Valentine's Day. It's so good. But no, Valentine rules. It is the last, really, it's the swan song of an entire era of horror, which is like that era that started with Scream. The 90s into 2000s slasher, that WB era thriller. Valentine's the swan song. It's not the best of the bunch. Like, it's not. But it holds a special place in my heart. I like Jimmy Blanks. So.
Me too. Yeah. The other thing about that I think gives Valentine the edge over My Bloody Valentine, and I know this is like going to be sacrilege to some people, but the thing with My Bloody Valentine, though, is I like the movie. I actually kind of like the remake better.
I did too.
The thing with the original My Bloody Valentine is it got cut to bits because like the violence all got, it's a very bloodless movie because
it's a Savini project, by the way. Like,
yes.
So he did effects on it. So
whereas
the Prowler didn't get cut
at
all.
This one got slapped with an X rating because it came out at a time. It was around, it was in the '80s. It's like I think the Mark David Chapman is the thing that, like, mm-hmm. Shooting John Lennon is the thing they kind of tie back to. It came out around that time, and they slapped an X rating on it. And Paramount was like, "You got to cut this. You got to cut this down." Paramount, very funny company. That like Paramount's name pops up a lot in these slashers around this time. They didn't really like it, but they liked the money they made. Mm-hmm. So it relies a lot on story, and the story's good, and I like the killer. The thing is, I like the Valentine killer more, and I like his look more, or their look more.
The baby, without the spoiling. Cupid.
Yeah, the cherub, yes.
Cherub,
yes.
Cherub, thank you, yes.
And the cherub does a couple of cool little kills.
There's a hot tub kill?
A hot tub kill. There's an arrow kill. He's got Cupid's arrow.
Gotta do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
The best kill in Valentine is actually, I think, I love a good broken glass on a door.
Oh yeah.
So
hot zombie tub kill style.
Yes. Yep. So we both have Valentine. We're locked up.
Wow,
so far.
We are.
I think we might be locked up here too, bottom of this bracket. April Fool's Day versus Cherry Falls.
Oh man. This is tough actually.
Okay.
The hardest one so far. So I don't love either one of these movies. Like I don't like adore. It's Cherry Falls for me.
Okay.
And it's not a movie I love, and spoiler alert, it's not moving on for me.
Yeah.
But April Fool's Day is fine, and I love the concept, and I think the execution is pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
But Cherry Falls, the gimmick of Cherry Falls is so much fun.
The gimmick of Cherry Falls is
the virgins die.
He's killing virgins.
Instead of the opposite, which is
I would say he. I was the slasher is killing virgins.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's a reveal. The killer reveal is like insanity, and it's so stupid. And there's a weird relationship between Michael Biehn and
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, they're like father and daughter, and he's the sheriff. But they're like, it's like really uncomfortable.
These two movies are weirdly similar. In that they both have, I think they both have killer hooks. They both have killer concepts.
But they don't quite.
I don't necessarily, yeah. They both have very odd endings.
Yes.
Yeah. April Fool's Day, that's kind of the whole thing.
The ending is the movie.
Is the movie.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what you think of the movie depends on how you feel about the ending. I think the ending of April Fool's Day, for those who don't know, the whole thing turns out to be an April Fool's prank. I feel okay spoiling a 40-year-old movie.
It's kind of great.
Yeah. It's kind of great, but it's also, in its own way, it's kind of like deflating a little bit too if you're like into the movie. So
it's been done since Cry Wolf.
Yes. Yeah, which I could have put on this list actually.
I didn't think about it. Yeah. More deflating than April Fool's Day somehow, but
yeah. You know. So I think a lot of it comes out. April Fool's Day had kind of a fun, like.
What do you have?
Both of these have good cast too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got April Fool's Day.
Nice.
Because I'm kind of what you said about kind of the forgotten gem that is. What was it that you mentioned? Popcorn. That's kind of how I feel about Cherry Falls, where it got kind of built up amongst certain circles before it came out, and then I watched it and I went, okay, I see why people. Like this, I see why people think it's about Forgotten Gem. It doesn't work for me completely.
I agree with you on that. I just think for me, it sticks with me a little bit more than April Fool's Day. This is very close.
Yeah, I'm taking April Fool's Day, and they are both flawed slashers.
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
Other side of the bracket now, the number two seed. I haven't been doing seeds, sorry.
You're fine.
Number two seed, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Verdon versus the number 15 seed, Dr. Giggle, starring Larry Drake.
Hey, you know I love me some Larry Drake.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't? I know you do. But it's Behind the Mask.
Yeah,
Behind the Mask, I actually revisited sometime during the pandemic. Like, I was watching a lot of movies at that point in time, and I revisited this, and I was like, man, this is pretty solid stuff. Like, it is low budget, no question. Like, it's shoestring in a lot of ways, but like, it kind of works because of that.
It works, yeah. I think it works
to its benefit.
Yep.
And the first time I saw it, I remember kind of thinking like, oh, this is kind of like direct-to-video. Like, it's fine. But when I rewatched it, like with some, I don't know, not wisdom, but I don't know, just under new circumstances, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of genius. So, yeah, it's Behind the Mask. Look, Dr. Giggles is what it is. It's called Dr. Giggles. Like,
it's one of those kind of bloodless like 90s slashers that like came out around
The Stepfather.
A very dry period pre-Scream. Because we're coming out of that second big slasher boom in the late 80s. The thing is, like, if we're going, like...
Are you going Dr. Giggles right now?
No.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
I thought...
No, I was going to say, like, if I'm going to recommend...
Yes.
But it couldn't make it into this bracket, I'm going to recommend Corbin Burnson's The Dentist over Dr. Giggles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But The Dentist has a sequel, so it couldn't be in this.
Ruffalo is in the original Dentist.
Yeah.
Yep.
So... Larry Drake is great. It feels The Dentist feels like a like kind of like a Tales from the Crypt. Manny Coto, the director, worked on Tales from the Crypt. But like I said, it's bloodless, and I echo a lot of what you said about Behind the Mask. So it's moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a big time matchup here.
Mm.
What's the seeds here? I want to make sure I get this
number
right.
Number 7 seed is the Prowler versus the number 10 seed Shocker by Wes Craven. Another, I believe 1981 slasher.
Yeah.
81 or 82. The Prowler, another Savini, effects driven slasher.
This
versus,
of
course, Wes Craven.
This is Savini considers The Prowler like his best work is what he said. I don't know if I agree with
that. I disagree. I love you, Savini, but I disagree. But
Prowler also got Joseph Zito that job on,
It does. Tim.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, man.
This is a tough one.
It's harder.
This is a tough one. The Prowler.
Very different movies.
The Prowler is sleazy. I think it's the better movie. I think it's well crafted. I think the kills are really good. I think it's great Savini work. I have nothing against The Prowler. But when it's this close, it comes down for me for a sequel to slasher. I think about who I would want to see continue on, who I think we got robbed of not having a sequel, and I think we got robbed of not seeing Horace Pinker continue on in Mitch Pileggi's performance, because there's a lot of fun stuff you could do with that ridiculous character.
I like
and
that.
And the original only touches the surface. I like The Prowler, and I would definitely watch a sequel, but I don't necessarily know if it lended itself to a sequel anyway. I think it's a good standalone slasher.
I like standalone slashers.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like Shocker, I could have taken another two or three Shockers. So Shocker is my pick. Maybe a controversial one.
Oh, man. I was firmly The Prowler, I think. Not that I don't like Shocker. I do enjoy it. But I was pretty convinced on The Prowler until you made your sales pitch there. And we've done this to each other before, but I think I'm going to go Shocker.
Okay.
Here's why. There are a lot of sleazy early 80s, first couple of years of 80s, slasher movies. And most of them you don't want to have on when anybody with an earshot is in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Because somebody's moaning. Whether it's sex or death, somebody's making moaning sounds, right? It's very prevalent in the 80s slasher movies. But The Prowler is the sleaziest, I think, which is tough. We've got another sleazy one coming up here. I think The Prowler edges it out in sleaze a little bit.
I think so too. I think the Prowler is like top sleaze of that era.
Yes.
Like towards the top. I'm sure
I would agree. Yeah. Shocker is insane.
That's the other thing.
It's nuts.
Shocker is a one of a kind movie.
You couldn't make it now or before. It's Shocker.
It's got a great soundtrack too.
It sure does. And who's the lead? It's Peter Berg.
Yeah.
What's happening? Anyway, Shocker. It's Shocker.
Good.
The Prowler, but it's Shocker.
That's a pick 'em for me. So
yeah.
All right. This one is not a pick 'em for me. I'm just gonna be honest with you. This is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Choice for me. This is number 3 seed The Burning versus number 14 Ice Cream Man, starring Clint Howard.
Fire versus Ice.
It's the Burning. The Burning rules. Ice Cream Man is whatever. It's Ice Cream Man's a goofy 90s slasher movie.
There's
a comic called Ice Cream Man that's horror anthology comic. It's not related to the movie at all. I would recommend if you are looking for a horror thing that's Ice Cream Man, do the comic instead. It's very good. And they're standalone issues. So it's all like creepy kind of existential horror.
Wow.
It's about an ice cream man who goes around and tells these stories. It's very Stephen King-esque in that way. Yeah. So anyway.
Kind of Tales from the Crypt.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Different writers on each
that's
each
cool.
Book.
That
yeah.
sounds sweet. It's the Burning, no question. Ice Cream Man is Dr. Giggles, but not as good. So the Burning. The Burning is sleaze. I mentioned a sleaze movie to come. But the Burning is, I don't know, the Burning kind of, it's the score.
Yeah, the Burning.
The look.
Yeah, just the raft.
It somehow elevates, I mean, it's still sleaze, but it elevates
Jason
a little
Alexander.
Bit above. Yeah. Holly Hunter.
What's my other man's?
The guy who produced the dolphin documentary,
Fisher Stevens.
Thank you.
A lot of fun.
Won an Oscar for it.
He did. Yeah. All right. 6 vs. 11 seed.
Trying to give him credit.
House of Wax. Okay, so this is the remake.
Yeah. So this might be controversial. So there are two House of Wax movies. Yes, correct. The remake never spawned a sequel.
Right.
The remake is its own thing. It has nothing to do with the original. Yes. So we counted it. And if you have a problem with that, well, I don't know what to tell you. So we counted it.
Versus Midnight Meat Train, which is close enough to a slasher, I think.
It's on the... That's the tough... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I needed another 2000s one, and I like Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah.
And it got on there. So Bones... With
but
Snoop Dogg.
It's a slasher, though.
Yeah, and Bones Snoop Dogg is actually less of a slasher, in my opinion. Bones is a ghost story.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Midnight Meat Train, at least, is like a guy killing people one by one as... Yeah.
I am going to go Midnight Meat Train here.
Yep.
I like the director, whose name is escaping right now, the guy who did Versus. Riho Kitamura.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I'm also a Clive Barker guy. I also think Midnight Meat Train is really good. I think Bradley Cooper is excellent in it in that role.
Sure.
I like House of Wax quite a bit. It's probably my favorite of that like Dark Castle batch of remakes.
Oh,
which one do you like better?
Ghosts.
I still might go House of Wax.
Really?
They're neck and neck. Yeah.
Man, it's 13 Ghosts for me, but House of Wax is.
I like the kills in House of Wax. Yeah. The thing with House of Wax though is it does drag a little bit. It's like 2 hours long, and. I think it's a little long to be for what it is. So
Paris Hilton gets the pole through the head, which was the big thing at the time. Like,
yeah, that was the selling point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch Paris Hilton die.
Yeah. It's got a fun young cast. I like House of Wax. Yep. I like Midnight Meat Train better. I think it's a better movie.
Nice. I agree.
Okay.
There you go. That's it.
All right. Round two.
We're tied up. We got Black Christmas up against Club Dread. Very different movies.
Yes.
Both kind of funny in their own ways. Humor. Certainly one leans more towards humor. I am going to make people mad and go Club Dread. Sorry.
I'm going to back you up and go Club Dread.
It's so much fun.
I think it's a blast. And I think there's some good kills. And I think it's
underrated.
I still say Penelope all the time.
Yes.
When I see the name Penelope. The other thing with Black Christmas. I know people go into movies for different reasons. Watching movies. With slasher movies, for me, slasher movies are very much a beer and have a good time subgenre. I don't have a good time when I watch Black Christmas, the original. I think it's too icky.
It's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
But, I mean, it's great in its own right.
Yeah.
But it's a bummer. It's not like what you want.
It's effective at what it's doing. Yeah. But it's not necessarily what I want.
It's not what you want from a slasher.
It's not what... Even Halloween, like... Halloween's not like that. Halloween, I hoot and holler.
Yep.
That's my slasher subgenre is a hoot and holler subgenre for me.
Agreed.
I'm there for the kills, and I'm not there to be grossed out and icked out.
And there's some of that in Black Christmas for
and
sure.
You know what?
I agree.
The Black Christmas, all three of those movies, I find stuff to like in all three of them, but all three of them are flawed, and none of them, I don't really like any of them that much.
I've seen the first two. I've not seen the third.
Okay.
Which was from 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was right before the pandemic, maybe. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
It's a yeah.
We're not talking about that, so it's fine. Yeah. We've both got Valentine.
Yes.
Up against, well, you have April Fool's Day.
And you have Cherry Falls.
Correct.
Right?
For me, it's Valentine, no question. Yeah.
I've got Valentine.
Yeah, Cherry Falls barely skated through. So what do you got?
I have Valentine moving on as well. Yeah, I will stick up for Valentine a little bit here, real quick, because I think it gets a bad rap because it came out at the tail end of that mm-hmm. that post Scream boom, and it's very much it's. I think it's just as good as Urban Legend. I think it's just as good as some of those other movies. I don't understand. It's got some good kills. It's got a good looking villain. I think a lot of it people were exhausted by that style of slasher movie by the time Valentine came out because it came out in like 2001.
That subgenre was gone.
It was a year or two past its sell by date, pretty much.
Yeah. Scream 3 was 99?
Scream 3 was, yeah.
2000? Yeah.
Yeah, Scream 3 was like 99, 2000, yeah. Wasn't it?
And people were burnt out by then.
Before
that came out, I think.
Because mm-hmm. yeah. we had the I Still Know, like, yep. I Know What You Did Last yep. Summer, I Still Know, and then we yep. had Urban Legends and Urban Legends yep. Cut. So I think people were burnt out by that point, and I don't think it ever had a shot, and I think it's a fun movie.
What a
that.
Beautiful but short period of time that movie came out during.
Right.
96 through like 2000.
Yeah.
Like that was the sweet. It was like half the length of the previous slasher boom. Yeah.
Right.
So cool.
Yeah. 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 I guess looking back, we did get those remakes in the back half of the 2000s, right?
Yeah. But that was a whole different.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then we both have The Rise of Leslie Vernon versus Shocker.
Yes. Leslie Vernon for me.
As well.
Shocker's a ton of fun, but like I think Leslie Vernon actually is really smart. The subversive slasher movies sometimes they're trying too hard to be smart and be subversive.
There's a risk of being too smart for your own good or thinking you're too smart for your own good.
Yeah, and winking too much. Leslie Vernon does like really, really toes the line, really balance, like finds that balance. And so yeah, no, I really appreciate what that movie did, even if it's not like one of my favorites of all time.
Oh, sorry.
It was a great job. Yeah.
I knew I liked it when like it does the reveal that like all of the killers are real, like
yeah.
Freddy, Michael Myers, Jason, like they all exist. Like
it's so cool.
It's one of like the cool twists. Shocker feels like Wes rough drafting things that would come later.
And it feels like he was forced a little bit too, in my opinion, to like make another Freddy Krueger, please.
Exactly.
Do it. Yeah.
And there's still some Professor Wes in there. Like there's still that's
Professor.
What I always like about Craven movies is like there's always something underneath the surface like you can dig into if you want. Even like My Soul to Take, like there's the Condor shit that you're just
I can't.
Wes gets it, but I don't know what he's talking about.
We'll never know.
Shocker is very much Shocker is not subtle with what it's trying to say.
No,
about.
But there's some of that.
But you're right. It does feel like it almost feels like he makes Shocker. And then which leads to New Nightmare, and then that leads to Scream. Like, he's kind of toying around with eventually getting to Scream, eventually. Mm-hmm. Because, you're right, Shocker feels very much like another Nightmare on Elm Street. Let's make another in that vein.
There's a little bit too much of that. Like I love Mitch Pileggi's performance, but, like, it does feel a little bit... It does feel a little bit like he was, like, told by somebody, this needs to be big.
Right.
Like, really big. So.
All right. And then finally, we've both got The Burning versus Midnight Meat Train, right?
Correct. This is weird.
This is a tough one, honestly, but I'm going to go, okay, I'll start it off.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give the same reasoning as Midnight Meat Train, we talk about as kind of borderline slasher anyway.
Yeah.
Midnight Meat Train works better as a one-off movie anyway because it feels like it's a Clive Barker short story is what it's based mm-hmm. on, and it feels very much like that. And Clive Barker movies, short stories, do feel a lot of the time like they're self-contained, and this feels very self-contained. It feels like a full movie. I could have watched a few more crapsy movies if I did.
Well, yeah, of course.
Like The Burning 2, The Burning 3.
I agree.
So I'm going to go back to that reasoning for this because I think I like both movies quite a bit, and Burning is a classic slasher.
I'm going to go opposite of you.
Okay.
And for the opposite reasons, but I think everything you said makes sense, but I'm just going from a different mindset where the Midnight Meat Train is not quite enough of a... The Burning is the quintessential slasher movie.
Right.
Like, if you ask... Like, if somebody said, what slasher movie should I watch? It would not be the original Halloween. Because I don't think that's indicative of what slasher movies really are, even. Yeah. Even though it was kind of the genesis. It would be one of two movies. It'd either be Friday the 13th Part 4, which is not on this because it can't be, or The Burning. Those are the two, like, I think of immediately where, like, these are slasher movies.
Yep.
Midnight Meat Train is undoubtedly a better movie. It's a better movie. But if we're going for one-off slashers, when I think of one-off slasher, that's one of the first movies I think of is Midnight, or is The Burning.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I agree. I want more of Cropsey. I wanted some more of him. I take 2, 3, 4, but it was a one-off, and it feels so of that. Yeah. It's The Burning for me. I'm going with The Burning. Yeah.
So we've both got the same final four. This has happened 90% of the time on this episode. Or on these bracket episodes.
We don't have the same final four, do we? No.
Who do you have?
The Burning.
No, I picked The Burning as well. Sorry, oh. I wasn't clear on who I picked. Yeah. Yeah. We both got there. We had different reasonings, but we both got
there. I thought you were picking...
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
My bad.
Yeah. So we both have Club Dread, Valentine, Leslie Vernon, and The Burning.
So we do. Okay, well, even when I didn't realize, we still do.
Let's see if we've got the same finals. Club Dread versus Valentine.
It's Valentine for me. I love Club Dread, but it's Valentine.
You know what? I haven't made my picks here.
It's Valentine. So the reason why is because this is where Club Dread finally falls off, and it's not because I don't love it. I do. But this is where that element of satire or spoof leans in a little bit too much for me, like compared to what we're doing here with these are standalone slasher movies. It's a standalone slasher, but it's also a comedy. The Valentine is very much a slasher.
Yeah.
And so for me, I like my slashers a little bit mean. A little bit mean, generally. Especially when my standalones. Like, when you get into Fridays and Nightmares, like, it's a different...
Yeah.
That's a franchise. It's not even... So, but with my standalones, I like them a little bit mean, and Valentine's definitely got that meanness to it. Whereas Club Dread, it's fun, you know? Yeah.
Club Dread feels like a movie made by comedians that like horror movies, but maybe
like Shaun of the Dead. Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Valentine feels like it's made by like a horror director.
Yes.
Like it feels like a horror movie.
Yes.
Club Dread, yeah, I'm going to go Valentine as well for a lot of the same reasons. Club Dread, like I said, Club Dread's a great... Coconut Pete is forever and
all
away.
Time.
Pina Colada Berg is an all time great creation by Bill Paxton, one of my favorite things. It does function as a slasher, but I'm with you, Valentine. I have personal connections to both of these movies because I did watch them at like the right age.
Yeah,
they both hit for those reasons
for sure.
And like I fully admit that Valentine is a lot of this is due to maybe even like nostalgia for it, but yeah, I like Valentine.
Yeah,
Leslie Vernon versus The Burning. All right, I'm going to start here.
All right.
This is tough, though, because, yeah, I feel like I know I'm going Leslie Vernon just because I like it better.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. And you know what? It bums me out that we never got a sequel that maybe is a little bit more straightforward in its intentions.
Yeah.
Or even maybe just a sequel that is...
There were talks for a while.
Yeah,
but it never,
it's always fallen through. And then there were talks about continuing it, I think, in graphic novel form, but that's never happened.
Yeah.
God, this is tough though, because you're right. Because like, if I'm picking a straightforward slasher, it's The Burning. Like, what represents a slasher? But I'm also kind of picking what I like better, what I would rather watch. But I don't know. I might want to watch The Burning. I'm picking Leslie Vernon because I like it just a little bit better. That's my reasoning.
Yeah, I'm going The Burning.
Okay.
Same reasons as you.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Once you get down to the final four on these things, a lot of the time it just comes down to personal preference.
I love Leslie Vernon, but for me, The Burning is just that is the slasher. Like, that's a slasher movie. So,
I have Valentine versus Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. You have Valentine versus The Burning, which is a really cool final matchup. But what do you got?
This is the problem with not like prepping. I've looked at the bracket, but I always make a promise myself, like, not to make specific choices. Of course, I know a couple.
Yeah.
But I try not to make a full, like, finish a full bracket before I come on here, and this is the problem where I hesitate at the end. It's, oh my God. You go first. I can't do it. I can't do it.
This is just me just picking the movie I like better. I think it's a better movie. I'm picking Leslie Vernon, Rise of Leslie Vernon, for a lot of the same reasons, too, that I mentioned. Like, this one feels like a real missed opportunity for a sequel, whereas Valentine's, I would have enjoyed more Valentine movies, but like this one feels like, I feel like kind of robbed that that story never continued on.
Mm.
Whereas Valentine, yeah. I guess I don't, but I do a little less. I would have liked to have seen some direct-to-video Valentine's sequels,
nice.
Like kind
yeah.
of like even how like they did the Urban Legends. But
yep.
Leslie Vernon is a movie that like I actually wanted to see a continuation of that first movie. So
it's The Burning.
Okay,
go with The Burning. It's The Score. Actually, that gets me. That I'm gonna go with that as the final. Like, man, the performances are better in Valentine. The plot is it's better. God, oh, I don't know. The Burning has that Rick Wakeman score, which
yeah.
makes the whole movie like height. Like, if it did not have the score behind it, it would not have made it as far for me. But it makes the whole experience like resonate in my mind. And when I ask myself, okay, which movies do you own on Blu-ray? I own The Burning. Like, I bought The Burning purposefully.
Right.
I could have bought Valentine, and I haven't yet. Like, I have it on DVD somewhere,
yeah.
but... So it's The Burning. That's the one.
So there we go.
Woo!
That was a tough bracket. Honestly, it was a tough...
I'm glad we did it, though.
Me too. Yeah. It was a fun exercise. It got me back in the groove. It was kind of tough putting it together because, like we mentioned, like, some of the picks were, like, borderline in certain ways. And
yeah.
It was tough picking because, yeah, this is one where it kind of... A lot of these aren't great movies, but they are good slasher movies.
Right,
there's
exactly.
a difference. Yeah,
The Burning's not a great movie.
No,
I'd argue there's not many great movies in this bracket.
Right,
by traditional standards, but there's some great slashers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's weird saying that, but I think to those who know it, make what we're saying makes sense.
I hope so. Yeah, I think most people I've interacted with get it. Even if they're not fans, they're kind of like, yeah, that I get
Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, I would say Hellraiser are great movies. Scream, those are both great movies and great slasher movies.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Halloween.
Sleepaway Camp.
Halloween
so
2, not a great movie. Pretty good slasher.
Pretty
movie.
Good slasher. Yeah. Sleepaway Camp, not
pretty
a great movie.
The Burning, pretty good slasher. So I think
yeah,
that's what
there's
we're
a whole difference.
Yes.
Yeah. It's porn... But instead of money shots, it's people getting killed.
Yeah,
that's the great slasher.
Yeah.
The money shot is the kill scene.
Kill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shitty acting,
mm-hmm.
half nude people until they get nude.
Characters you don't really want to like
no.
or care about.
You
want
to fast forward through the bullshit.
Yeah.
So you can get to the stuff.
You
want to
be
yeah,
kind of.
It's basically porn with knives.
Buzzed by the end of it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Anyway, yes, that was fun. Thank you.
It is.
For indulging me in that one.
I'm going to post this somewhere. Don't come at us with any, you can't do that.
Yeah.
We already explained ourselves, but I will, hopefully I didn't insult anybody, but I'll post this a couple places and I'll try to get this out on our social media as well. And then horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com for the brackets. I'll post these after the episode is released.
Let us know.
Willie, it is your pick next because we did this bracket after mine.
Yeah.
To put you on the spot.
So... I was thinking about revisiting one. It's a more recent movie. I think... I'm pretty sure you... have you seen this? I'm going to give you some hints. It started as a Cloverfield spinoff.
Oh, Overlord?
Can we do Overlord?
Yeah, we have not done that.
It's more recent, but like I kind of...
Oh, no, I like Overlord.
I have good feelings about that movie
yeah.
when I recall, but I'd like to revisit it.
No, I'm
Overlord
totally
would be cool. Yeah.
I'm totally down.
And I saw the trailer for the Captain America Black Panther video game, which looks really cool.
That I didn't see the trailer. I heard about it.
It's set during World War II.
Yeah.
I was thinking World War II today, and I was like, oh, Overlord. Like, is that... That's two, right? Or one?
What?
One of them World Wars.
Yeah. I believe it's two, yeah.
I think it's two, yeah. So I was like, man, I want to watch Overlord. Let's do it for the podcast. Yeah. So, Overlord. That's what I want to do. Cool?
Very cool. Very cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cool.
It's available on stuff.
Yeah, let me check just real quick.
I think it's on... I'm sure it's on Prime, if nothing else.
It's at least you could rent it. Just want to be sure.
When did it come out? It came out in 2019?
So, 2018. 18.
It's on Tubi.
Tubi, perfect.
Boom.
Perfect.
Our bread and butter.
Man, that's awesome.
There we go.
And you know what? If you don't want to deal with ads, you can pay $2 on Prime.
There you go. Your choice.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe and stay scared.